have worshipped you tonight. Arise for them. Hallelujah. Well, let's lift our hands to the Most High God and begin to bless His holy name. Give Him glory, give Him honor, give Him adoration. Bless His holy name. Praise the King of Kings, praise the Lord of Lords. Praise the Ancient of Days. Magnify His holy name. Is worthy to be praised. Worship Him. Give Him glory, give Him honor, give Him adoration. Praise Him for what He did for you in January. Praise Him for what He did in February. Praise Him for what He did in March. Magnify His holy name for what He did in April. Worship the King of Kings for what He did in May. Lift Him high for what He did in June. Praise Him that you are alive to see the month of July. Give Him all glory, give Him all honor, give Him all adoration. Bless the Almighty God. Let Him hear your voice, praising Him. Let Him hear you say, Lord, I love you, I thank you, I give you all glory, I give you all honor, I give you all adoration. I bless your holy name from the bottom of my heart. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Glory be to your holy name. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Ancient of Days. Thank you, Unchangeable Changer. May your name forever be glorified. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Ancient of Days. Thank you, All Sufficient God. Glory be to your holy name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, we worship you, we adore you, we magnify your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have worshipped. I want you to lift your voice to the Almighty God, loud and clear, and say, Father, Lord of hosts, arise. Defend Nigeria. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Lord of hosts, arise. Defend Nigeria. Put an end to tragedies in this nation. Put an end to sorrows in this nation. Put an end to death in this nation. Put an end to accidents in this nation. Almighty God, arise and defend Nigeria. Arise and defend Nigeria. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And lift your voice to him loud and clear and say, Father, Lord of hosts, arise and defend my family. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Lord of hosts, arise, defend my family. Let there be no sickness. Let there be no death. Let there be no sorrow. Let there be no tragedy. Let there be no accidents. Arise, O Lord, and defend my family. Arise, O Lord, Lord of hosts, and defend my family. Let there be no sickness, no death, no sorrow, no tragedy, no accident, no problems, O Lord. Please, Lord, arise and defend my family. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And then lift your voice to him and say, Father, a Lord of hosts, arise and defend your church. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Lord of hosts, arise, defend your church. 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 Oh yes, Lord God Almighty, arise and defend your church. Defend your church. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Can you lift your voice to him one more time and say, Father, Lord of hosts, arise and defend me. And go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Lord of hosts, arise and defend me, Lord God Almighty. Defend Enoch Adejare Adeboye. Defend me, Lord of hosts. Arise, Lord, and defend me. I'm your son. I belong to you. Arise, O Lord, and defend me. Defend me, Lord, defend me. I am yours. I belong to you. I'm your child, Lord. I'm called by your name. Defend me, O Lord, defend me. Against enemies known and unknown. O Lord of hosts, arise. can defend me. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. You are the mighty God, the great I am. Alleluia. Alleluia. You are the mighty God, the great. Kings and Lord of Lords, Ancient of Days, Unchangeable Changer, the King of Glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Glory be to your holy name. Thank you for January. Thank you for February. Thank you for March. Thank you for April. Thank you for May. Thank you for June. And thank you for July. Thank you for bringing us to the second half of this year. Father, accept our worship in Jesus' name. Father, today, in every home where there is sorrow, let the Comforter comfort them. In this country called Nigeria, my Father, my God, let there be no more tragedies. No more killings. No more accidents. No more crisis. Prince of Peace, please let your peace reign. Arise, O Lord. Defend Nigeria. Defend all the nations where the enemy is waging wars. Defend our families. Defend our homes. Defend your church. And Father, please defend us also. And tonight, in a very special way, visit us. Save souls. Heal the sick. Set the captives free. Let the devil know that he has lost the battle. And by the time the sun rises, let every one of us sing a new song. And all those who are listening to us all over the world, Father, today, defend them all. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Well, let somebody shout hallelujah. Shake hands with two or three people and tell them, the Lord of hosts will defend you. And then you may please be seated. With the exception of those who are born in the month of July. If you are born in July, let me hear you shout hallelujah. My Father, my God, I commit all your children born in the month of July into your hands. July is the seventh month of the year. And seven is the number for perfection. Everything that pertains to this, your children, Father, make perfect. Give them perfect health, perfect joy, perfect anointing, perfect promotions, perfect progress. And in every area of their lives, my Father, my God, show yourself more than sufficient. Give them a new beginning of joy, of success, of breakthroughs, of mighty testimonies, of a closer walk with God. Let him be well with them. And let them serve you forever. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Let every child of July shout another hallelujah. God bless you. You may please be seated. The first Friday of August will be inside the ministers' conference, because our annual convention is here again. And since the annual convention is from August 6 to 12, there will be no Holy Ghost service on the 3rd, no Holy Ghost service on the 1st Friday. The Holy Ghost service instead will be on the 10th of August, during the convention proper. So let us keep that in mind. The theme for our convention is dominion. The word itself is enough to cause you to want to be there. Because to have dominion is to be in charge, to be in control. Not just healthy, but controlling the health of others. You'll be amazed at how many people have dominion. I'm here now preaching to you. And there are some people behind the scene who have dominion. If they like, and they tamper with this microphone, you will know those who have But as the Lord lives, by the time the convention is over next month, in every area of life, you will have dominion. So the convention is from the 6th of August to the 12th of August. The Holy Ghost service will be inside the convention on the 10th, and the theme is dominion. Tonight had been a very wonderful night. I don't know if you noticed that everything had been done by girls. The announcement, the offering, the prayer, everything by girls. It's a very special night for girls. Glory be to God. And then, look at that fantastic sermon. Look at that fantastic sermon. Let me hear the girl shout, "Praise the Lord." Now I know there are some people who right now they are watching, they are listening, even though they don't like me. And they've been waiting for something they can write on to attack. And they are going to attack that I allowed women to preach. I know that will be the next article. So I just want to tell them in advance, it is written, in the last days, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The anointing on the daughters is not for frying chicken. It's for prophesying. Let the girl shout, "Praise the Lord." I'm on the side of the girls tonight. Every man here has been brought into the world by a woman. Right or wrong? When they named those who were the covenant partners of Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 8 verse 1 to 3, they didn't mention one man. All of them were girls. The people who went to anoint the body of Jesus Christ after he died. And the elders have a saying, the one who is with you when you are alive is not as important as the one who is with you after you are dead. Those who went to anoint the Lord Jesus Christ, they were all women. The first fellow to see Jesus after he rose from the dead, it's a woman. Let the girl shout, "Praise the Lord." And so those of you who have been talking down on the girls, Listen to me very carefully. I know your excuse had always been, well, but it is a woman who caused Adam to sin. That's not true. And I will prove it to you. Adam sinned because he wanted to sin. Read your Bible very clearly. He was the one God told, don't eat the fruit. When the wife came and said, I've eaten the fruit, what he should have said is, what have you done? But as soon as she gave it to yet, Adam, you were waiting. Waiting to eat. Adam sinned because he wanted to sin. When the wife of Potiphar came to Joseph and said, hey, come and do. Joseph said no. Adam didn't say no. He didn't. When the wife of Potiphar began to pursue Joseph, Joseph ran. Adam didn't run. Read it, it's in the Bible. Read it with understanding. The Bible said, Eve ate and gave to the husband, and the husband ate. Husband, so quickly. No protest. Let the girl shout, praise the Lord. And let the brother shout, hallelujah. All right. It's going to be a glorious night. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, before we... Before we go to the big second session, as usual, let us quickly give an opportunity to those who are yet to have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You see, there is an enemy common to every man. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26, the Bible says the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Everybody must face this final enemy called death. And this enemy has many agents, including sickness. In 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14, 2 Kings 13, verse 14 says, and Elisha was falling sick of the sickness wherewith he died. Sickness is an agent of death. It doesn't matter your anointing. You are going to face that last enemy. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, judgment. Another agent of death is poverty. Don't let anybody deceive you. Poverty has nothing good to offer. As a matter of fact, Proverbs chapter 10 verse 15, Proverbs 10 verse 15 says, poverty is a destroyer. He said the destruction of the poor is their poverty. Another agent of death is bondage, spiritual bondage. In Mark chapter 5 from verse 1 to 15, Mark 5 from verse 1 to 15, when someone is under spiritual bondage, he will even be trying to destroy himself. The madman of Gadara was always cutting himself with stones. It's when someone is in bondage that they begin to think of suicide. So death is an enemy, but he has agents: sickness, poverty, bondage. Now, there is a link between sickness and sin. Psalm 107 verse 17 to 20. Psalm 107 17 to 20 says, fools, because of their transgressions, were afflicted. Because of their transgression. For example, in Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 12, Mark 2, verse 1 to 12, when they brought in that man through the roof and laid him at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing he did before he could discuss healing at all is to say, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. There's a link between sickness and sin. Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So for victory over sickness to be complete and permanent, you must sin no more. John chapter 5, read it from verse 2 to 14. John 5, 2 to 14. A man had been sick for 38 years. Jesus healed him and told him, sin no more. There is a link between poverty and sin. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 15. Proverbs 13 verse 15 says, the way of transgressors is hard. So for you to have complete and permanent victory over poverty, you must obey God completely. And obedience is another word for holiness. Deuteronomy 28. You can read it from verse 1 all the way to 12. Deuteronomy 28 from verse 1. Read it up to verse 13. He says, for it's when you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all that he commands you, that's when he says the blessings will begin to pursue you and overtake you. That's when he says you will no longer be borrowing, you'll be lending to nations. There is a link between bondage and sin. There is a link. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8. The Bible says, he that sins is of the devil. And the devil has a right to claim what belongs to him. So to be free from bondage, you must come to Jesus. You must. Because in 1 John chapter 3 verse 5, 1 John chapter 3 verse 5, the Bible says Jesus Christ was manifested to take away our sins. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. Matthew 1:21 says,
and he shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You want freedom, you want victory, you need to get quickly to Jesus Christ so that his blood can wash away your sins. Because the soul that sinneth shall die, because there is a link between sickness and sin. There is a link between poverty and sin. There is a link between bondage and sin. That's why Jesus Christ said in Matthew 11:20-30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Because if you come to him, his blood will cleanse you from all sins. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A word is enough for the wise. You want victory? Come to Jesus. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the one who can defend you. He's the one who can fight your battles for you. He's the one who can give you all-round victory. He can give you victory physical. Because by his stripes, you were healed. He can give you victory material. Because my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He can give you victory spiritual. Because the Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And he is the truth. And the Bible says whosoever the Son shall set free shall be free indeed. So I'm going to give you just 2 minutes. If you are here and you have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus, before I count 10, come and stand before me. Let me pray for your salvation. He says, anyone who will come unto him, he will no wise cast out. Come, let him save your soul. Let his blood wash you clean. Let him take over the battles of your life. And I'm counting now. 1, 2. You cannot fight the battles of life alone. You need the help of the Lord of hosts. And he says, if you come unto him, he will not cast you out. His blood will wash away your sins. He will save your soul and things will begin to change. 3. I know some of you are coming from afar, so you will need to move very fast. This is your day of salvation. Come now, the Lord is calling you. 5. It's not only the Lord of hosts, it's also the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Come to him, he will save your soul, his blood will wash away your sins, and things will change for the better. 7.
8. I know some of you are coming from afar. Just keep coming. Make sure you reach here before I finish praying. Because I must pray with you now for salvation. 9. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, now those of you already in front and those of you who are on the way, cry to the Almighty God now and say, Lord, please have mercy on me, save my soul, forgive all my sins, and come and take over my life. I will serve you for the rest of my life. Please save my soul today. And the rest of us, please, let's stretch our hands towards these people and intercede for them, that the one who has saved our souls will save their own souls also. Let's pray that God will be merciful unto them, that his blood will wipe away all their sins, that their names will be written in the book of life, and they will become accepted into the family of God. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for them. Those of you in front and those of you on the way, you cry to God yourself and say, Lord, have mercy on me, save my soul, forgive all my sins, wash me clean with that powerful blood of yours, and I will serve you. I will serve you for the rest of my life. If you're on the way, you should be in front by now. If you are still on the way, just make sure you keep coming, don't stop. Get here before I finish praying. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. My Father, my God, I want to thank you for your word. I want to give you all glory and honor for these people who have come forward to surrender their life to you. Father, please remember your promise that whosoever will come unto you, you will no wise cast out. They have come to you now, Father. Please receive them in Jesus' name. Amen. Have mercy on them. Amen. Save their souls. Amen. Forgive all their sins. Let your blood wash away their sins today. Please write their names in the book of life. Accept them into the family of God. And from now on, fight their battles for them. And anytime they cry unto you, please answer them by fire. And don't let them ever backslide. Let them serve you till the end. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Now, those of you in front, I want to rejoice with you. And those of you who are still coming, keep coming, keep coming. You are not late. The prayer I prayed has reached you where you are, but just keep coming. Those of you who are in front, I rejoice with you because from now on I'll be praying for you. And the counselors will give you cards now, which I want you to fill very quickly. I want your names, your address, and your prayer requests. And I promise you, I'll be praying for you. Congratulations. God bless you. Thank you. Kings chapter 5. I will read very quickly from verse 1 to 15 to 14. Second Kings chapter 5. When my daughter was preaching and she started referring to Second Kings chapter 5, I said, "Oh God, she has seen my notes." Wonderful, wonderful preaching. That was good. Second Kings chapter 5 from verse 1 to 14. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he will recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Israel said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servant came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. In the name of the one who called me, this night your victory will be total. And it will be permanent. When we talk about complete victory, because when we talk about all-round victory, we're also talking about victory, complete and total. It means, just like my daughter told you, that there's no area in your life where you're suffering a defeat. It means no reproach in your life. Naaman had a reproach. A reproach that reduced victories in every other area of his life to nothing. He was a successful warrior. He was a general. He was at the top of his career. He was wealthy. I mean, you see the kind of money was taken to Elisha. That man was loaded. He was famous. His king loved him, but he was a leper. And that single but reduced everything else to nothing.
Genesis 16 verse 1 to 5. Genesis 16 verse 1 to 5 tells us that Sarah was despised by her maid because she couldn't get pregnant and the maid got pregnant. The maid made fun of the mistress because the mistress had a reproach in her life. Then God moved. And the one that was despised now could laugh. And listen to the testimonies of tonight, particularly of that pastor of mine who had been barren for 24 years. 24 years. But my God moved. Doesn't matter how long your problem had been, my God will move tonight. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, you can read the story from verse 1 to 20. 1 Samuel 1 from verse 1 to 20. Hannah was loved by her husband. The husband was treating her very well, but she had a reproach. She was barren. And the second woman tormented her. Told her, "What are you doing? My husband's house was the use of a fruitless tree." But God moved. On behalf of someone here tonight, the Lord of hosts will move. In 2 Kings chapter 4 from verse 8 to 17, 2 Kings 4, 8 to 17, the Shunammite woman had everything except one thing. The Bible called her a great woman. If God says somebody is great, that fellow must be great. She was wealthy. She was influential. When the man of God said, "Can I introduce you to the king?" He said, "You don't need to bother, I know the king." "Can I introduce you to the commander-in-chief?" He said, "No problem, I know the commander-in-chief." She was great. But she was barren. Until God moved. God can move in various ways to remove your reproach. And one of the ways he can move is to silence the mockers. And if the Lord lives, that is the topic we'll be discussing in September. Almighty God is going to silence all the mockers in your life permanently. In Psalm 115 verse 1 to 3, Psalm 115 verse 1 to 3, the Bible says, why should he then say, "Where is my God?" He said, "My God will show them that I am in the heavens and I do what I please." In 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 1 to 7, 2 Kings 4 verse 1 to 7, the creditors were already coming to foreclose on that poor widow. Wanted to sell her sons to bondage. Then God moved. In 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 19 to 22. 2 Kings 2 verse 19 to 22. The elders in Jericho said to Elisha, "Look at our city. Everything is beautiful. But we have a reproach." And God moved. And the reproach ended that day. In the name that's above every other name, any reproach in your life will end today. Yeah.
Several years ago at Ebute Metta headquarters, we were having a program like this, when all of a sudden God spoke to me, and what he told me I found difficult to repeat. But I knew what he said. I knew who was speaking. He said, "Son, there's somebody in the crowd, an important man, wealthy, influential. He has a problem." What's the problem? He will finish eating at the dining table, and he had plenty of money to buy anything he wanted to buy. And they will come and clear the table and throw the excess food into the garbage. And when nobody is watching, he will go into the garbage to eat. Because there was something in him that says, until you eat from that place, no satisfaction. And my God moved and got rid of the demon. When he was sharing his testimony with me, because it's a testimony he couldn't share in the open, he said, how can I tell people that me, with all I have, I'm still eating from the excess food that he took from my table and threw in the garbage? I don't know what problem it is you have that you cannot discuss with anyone. In the name that's above every other name, that problem will be over tonight. So I'm going to ask you to rise on your feet and lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, "Father, every reproach in my life, remove it tonight." Open your mouth and cry unto the Almighty God. Every reproach. You know the problems I can't discuss with anyone. Problems I can't tell the pastor. Problem I can't tell anyone. Lord, every reproach in my life, remove tonight. Remove tonight. Remove tonight. My Father, my God, please. Every reproach in my life that is not allowing my victory to be complete, please, Lord, remove it tonight. Remove it tonight. Remove it tonight. Every reproach in my life. The problem which I have, which I can't tell anyone, please, Lord, remove it tonight. That problem I can't share with my wife, I can't share with my husband, I can't share with my pastor. Every reproach in my life, please, Lord, remove it tonight. Remove it tonight. Thank you, my Father. Every reproach in my life, remove it tonight. Remove it tonight, Lord. Remove it tonight. The secret battle that I've been fighting all alone, that I can't discuss with anyone, please, Daddy, give me victory there tonight. Remove every reproach from my life. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated. Now we are using Naaman as a case study, because when God finished with him, the Bible says there was no scars left
His skin became like that of a newborn baby. His victory was total. It was complete. It was absolute. And he was never a leper again. So his victory was not just absolute. It was permanent. And the journey to this permanent victory started from within his house. There was a maid there. There was a maid who was even brought from a foreign country. It was this maid who said to the wife, said to the queen, how I wish that this general will be in my land. There is help at hand. And God is going to reveal to you that help at hand tonight. You see, many a times when you need help, you need what we call first aid. Help that must come immediately before we begin to talk about other things. Immediate help. Psalm 46 verse 1. Psalm 46 verse 1 says, our God is the ever-present help in trouble. Psalm 27 verse 10. Psalm 27 verse 10 says, a neighbor at hand is better than a brother that is afar off. There are times when you need help and you need it immediately. Exodus 15, for example, from verse 22 to 25. Exodus 15, 22 to 25 tells us that the children of Israel were on their way to the promised land and they got to Mara. And they couldn't drink the water because it was bitter. And they were ready to pounce on Moses. But God showed Moses a tree that was already growing by that place that turned the bitter water sweet. In the story I read, or I mentioned earlier, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. 2 Kings 4, verse 1 to 7. The widow didn't know that what God will use to perform the miracle of deliverance from the creditor was a pot of oil that was already in the house. And neighbors with empty vessels that were already there. Today, in the name that's above every other name, that help that is already near you, that will lead to your permanent victory, God will reveal it to you. In Matthew 17, verse 24 to 27, Matthew 17, 24 to 27, where some people said that Jesus and his disciples should come and pay tax. The Almighty God guided Peter to a river that was nearby to go and catch a fish. And the fish already had money in his mouth. You know, the one that God will use to help you might be already sitting next to you. It might be a housemaid. It might be somebody in your house already. It might be somebody in your office. It might even be somebody who will help you say amen loud and clear tonight. Many a times you need help urgently, urgently. Told you the story before. We were having the convention. We were still in the first auditorium. And we were many there.
probably be about 10,000 of us. And because we've told the people to come that they will all be fed, just trusting God for money, the people had come. The convention was on. And I ran out of money. And when I say I ran out, I mean no kobo left. And my wife came. Darling, we need 5,000 naira for the food for today. I say, I see. When do you need the money? Is it now or today? She said, what's the difference? She said, today. Okay, go. And she left. God, I'm in your hand. Where the money will come from, up to you. It wasn't long after that. I've told you the story before. One man was driving past the expressway, saw the activities here, branched, and said, ah, what's going on here? I said, ah, we are having a convention. It was in Flowing Agbada. Was, oh, convention. I said, yeah, ah, that's a beautiful idea. I said, yes, sir. He said, next year I'll be part of it. Oh, I'm talking of food today. This man is talking of next year. But then he said, but for now, take this one. Ah. And he gave me 1,000 naira. I said, thank you, Lord. I blessed him. He left. I said, one down, four to go. It wasn't long after that that some of the youth came, led by Pastor Kuo. He will remember the day. I saw an envelope in his hand, and then he began to preach. Daddy, we the youth, we see how you are laboring for us, how you are feeding us spiritually. We don't think you should be the one who will be bothering about how we are going to be fed. I said, give me this envelope. You can preach later, let me. And he gave me the envelope. I opened it, 2,000 naira. Ah, three down, two to go. It wasn't long after that that I sent to my wife, when exactly do you say you need the money? I could swagger because God had provided. Stand on your feet. Lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father, send help to me now. Open your mouth and cry to the Almighty God. Right now. Send help to me now. 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 Immediately. Immediately. This night. Not tomorrow morning. Send help to me now. Send help to me now, Lord God Almighty. Send help to me now, now, today, this very moment. Send help to me now. Send help to me now. Please, Lord God Almighty, tonight, this very night, send help to me. Send help to me now, right now, Father. Not tomorrow. Today, before the sun rises, send help to me now, Daddy. Send help to me. help to me now. Right now, right now. Even where I am now, send help to me. Send help to me right now. Thank you, Jesus. Send help to me now. Almighty God, please send help to me now. Right now, right now, right now, Father, send help to me now. Thank you, Jesus. Send help to me now. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated.
And then, as the story continues, we see that through the help of this little girl, suddenly, Naaman was connected to the one who will help his destiny. As the Almighty God lives, before the end of this month, God will connect you to the help of your destiny. Just need to watch this story. The girl spoke to the wife. It's amazing. The wife didn't do anything. The girl spoke to the wife. But while she was speaking to the wife, other people heard. One of the people who heard went in and told Naaman. Naaman went and told his own king. His king wrote to the king of Israel. The king of Israel tore his dress. Somebody saw what happened and reported the case to Elisha. God works in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I want to assure somebody today, in his mysterious way, he will link you up. In Exodus chapter 4, you can read it from verse 1 to 16. Exodus 4, 1 to 16. Moses was the one God called. I'm going to go to Egypt and deliver my people. Moses said, God, I am a stammerer. I don't know how to talk. God said, no problem. I will link you up. And he brought in Aaron. Later on in Exodus 17, verse 8 to 13, Exodus 17, verse 8 to 13, when the Amalekites came to attack the children of Israel, the same Aaron and Hur were there lifting up the hands of Moses so that he could achieve his mission. In Deuteronomy 34 verse 9, Deuteronomy 34 verse 9, the Bible says Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, because Moses had laid his hand on him. God had a plan for Joshua. He linked him up with Moses. Consider Joseph, that my daughter mentioned earlier, God revealed to Joseph, you're going to be great. Even your family will be bowing down to you. And then see how God arranged it. The brother sold him to Potiphar. Potiphar's wife tried to get him to sin. He refused. He landed in prison. There he met two prisoners. He interpreted their dreams. One died. One got back to the palace.
And then the king had a dream that nobody could interpret. And the former prisoner, the ex-convict, remembered Joseph and brought Joseph into the palace. How God will do it, I don't know. But in the name of the one who sent me, in a miraculous way, to the one who will help your destiny, God will connect you. God will connect you. I say it again, God will connect you. Told you this story before. Several years ago, I wanted to go to the university. I could have gone to Ibadan. I could have gone to Ife. I just decided to go to Nsukka. I can tell you the story that led to that, but I don't have the time. You probably have heard the story before. And when at Nsukka, of course, I met a lecturer, an Indian by the name of I.D. Seth. Then trouble came. We were driven home. And Seth disappeared. I didn't know where he went. And I ended up at Ife. I finished my first degree. And I wanted to go further. So I came for Commonwealth Scholarship interview at the University of Lagos. And I could have won the Commonwealth Scholarship, like I told you before, because in mathematics, it's either you know the answer to the question or you don't know. There's no guesswork in mathematics. Every question they asked me, I knew the answer. They were very simple questions. I was wondering, these people who are asking me questions, do they know that I'm a special honors graduate of mathematics? But after they finished asking the questions, there was a man there who was sleeping while they were asking me the questions. And so they woke him up and they said, do you have a question for him? And he said, oh yes, where's Entebbe? I said, sir, I'm not here for geography. And everybody laughed. I didn't know he was the chairman. But the way they laughed, I knew I had already failed. But as I stepped out of the place, who did I see? I saw my former lecturer, Dr. I.D. Seth. Enoch, what are you doing here? I said, I've come for Commonwealth Scholarship, but it looks as if I failed. He said, what do you want to call us? I want to go and study further my studies abroad. He said, you don't need to go anywhere. I know your stuff. Come and study at the University of Lagos. I will supervise you. That's how I landed at the University of Lagos. That's how I got born again. When I got born again, that's why I'm standing before you right now. Stand on your feet. And lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father, use any method, but connect me to those who will help my destiny. Open your mouth. Oh, Lord, whatever method you want to use, Lord,
Just connect me.
Connect me to those who will help my destiny.
Connect me, O Lord.
Connect me to those who will help my destiny. Those who will help my destiny. Connect me, Almighty God. Use your own method, any method you want, whichever mysterious ways you want to walk. Connect me to those who will help my destiny. Connect me to those who will help my destiny. Please, Lord, connect me to those who will help my destiny. Connect me soon. Do it soonest, Lord. Those who will help my destiny, connect me to them. Connect me to them. Connect me to them. Connect me to those who will help my destiny. Do it this month, Lord. Connect me to those who will help my destiny. Please do it. Thank you, Father. Please, Lord, help me, connect me. Use your various methods. Whichever method you want to use, just let me get connected to those who will help my destiny. Please do it very quickly. And I will give you the glory for it. I will give you the glory for it. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Please be seated.
And then as we continue, in the story of Naaman, we found that after God connected him to the one who will help his destiny, who will give him complete, absolute, and permanent victory, he nearly destroyed the plan of God for his life. The man of God said, go and wash in Jordan 7 times and you'll be clean. And he got angry. Thank you, Father.
Lord asked me to tell someone, whoever that fellow is, I rejoice with you, because Daddy says he will heal you from head to your toes. Thank you, Father. Lord asked me to tell someone, the force of darkness that have been tormenting you will not return. Oh, glory be to God. I rejoice. I rejoice with this lady. But the Lord asked me to tell you, your present pregnancy will not come down until maturity. All right, the Lord has taken over, so we better let him do his job. And this is a very serious one, because the Lord said there's someone here, either in this auditorium or in this or in the old arena. He says you belong to a gang. He asked me to tell you that gang is going to be wiped out. And he asked me to tell you, run for your life. Leave that gang and come to Jesus. Deliver the message. If you think I am lying, wait and see. Get out of that gang. or you will not see the end of July. Don't say, I didn't warn you. I'm not the one warning you. It's what God said. Okay, now.
So Naaman had two big personal problems. Problem number one, he was proud. He was a general, successful general. I don't know what a leopard would be proud about, but he was proud. The rivers in my country, they are better than Jordan. If they are better, go and wash. Let us see what will happen. And he was a man of temper. The Bible said he went away in a rage. And the word of God says, James chapter 4 verse 6, he said, God resists the proud. Check, my beloved. If pride is your problem, do something about it quickly. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 9 says, anger rests in the bosom of fools. If you're a man of temper, forgive me for saying so, you're a fool. Unless you deal with that urgently. I don't know what is your own eternal enemy, because the elders have a saying, if the enemy within does not kill you, the enemy without cannot kill you. What is your internal enemy? Is it appetite? Like in the case of Esau? Is it, I must get money at all costs? Like in the case of Gehazi? When the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? In Romans chapter 8 verse 31, Romans 8 31, the Bible didn't answer that question. If God is for us, the devil can't be against us, because we will resist the devil will flee. If God is for us, demons can't be against us, because we are to cast out devils. If God is for us, herbalists cannot be against us, because there's no weapon formed against us that will prosper. But if God is for us, and we're against ourselves, then we have a problem. I'll tell you a story. Several years ago, that's long before I married, I had a girlfriend, beautiful, gentle, at least that's what I thought, always smiling, and I thought, this is the one I will marry. Then one day, one evening, around 8 o'clock, I was going to her house. It was dark. As I was approaching the house, I was hearing a noise. As I drew close, I found it was my girlfriend who was quarreling with someone. And she was exploding like a volcano. Hey? Nobody saw me, so I quickly backed off. And in my mind, I was saying, God have mercy on the man who marries this girl. Today she would have been my wife. But she blew it. Because what was inside destroyed what was to be her destiny. The Yorubas will say when they pray,
I will say it in Yoruba and try to interpret it in English as best as I could.
Manikolo maje kuri inu wa oba today waje. The Lord, don't let my inner man destroy my destiny. Please stand on your feet. Cry unto God and say, Father, don't let my inner man destroy my destiny. Open your mouth and cry. It's a very important prayer. Very important prayer. Don't let me be my own enemy. Don't let me be my own enemy. Don't let my inner man destroy my destiny. Please, Lord. Please, Lord. No, please, Lord, don't let my inner man destroy my destiny. Don't let me be my own enemy. Don't let me be my own enemy. Please, please, Lord. I know you have great plans for my life, but don't let me destroy the plan myself. Don't let my inner man destroy my destiny, please. Please, Lord, don't let my inner man destroy my destiny. Help me. Help me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. So shall it be in Jesus' name. Please be seated. Something happened. Naaman was going away in a rage. That's what the Bible says. He wasn't just angry. He was furious. And if you know anything about the military, even when the general is not angry, and you are a subordinate, and you want to speak, you must ask for permission to speak. Now this man was in a rage, but because of his very special love that God has for him, a servant risked his life and offered him advice. When God has made up his mind to help you, nothing will stop him. And I know there is at least someone for whom this program was called today. Someone that God has made up his mind, I am going to help you. And he will do everything to make sure you get the help. We have several examples we could use. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1 to 8. 1 Kings 19, verse 1 to 8. Elijah was frustrated, and he asked God to kill him. God said, kill? I'm not going to kill you. I will feed you, because you must reach your goal.
Whatever method God will use, somebody here will reach his goal.
In John chapter 21, from verse 1 to 19. After Jesus himself had told Peter in Luke 5, if we back off a little, Luke 5, from verse 1 to 11, God has told Peter, from now you won't be fishing for fish, you'll be fishing for men. He forsook all, he followed Jesus, then Jesus died, and he thought that was the end of the matter. And he said, I'm going out fishing again. He went right back to what God said, you will never do again. After denying that he knew Jesus Christ 3 times. But Jesus went after him. He met him there. He made sure he caught nothing that night again to remind him of the beginning and helped him to catch fish. And fed him and said, all right, now Peter, do you love me? And asked him 3 times so he can confirm 3 times. It was that song that said, the love that will not let me go. There is a love of God that can hold you tight. No matter how hard you try to backslide, that love will say, no, you are not going. May God extend that love to you tonight. I told you this story. We had a meeting at the headquarters. There were very few pastors there. And the man who brought me to Christ in that pastor's meeting lied against me before my general superintendent. And my father in the Lord believed him. Everybody in the meeting turned against me. What is this? I left the meeting on my way to the University of Lagos, where I was working there, and I got to St. Agnes bus stop. There was a traffic light there that stopped me. As I stopped at the traffic light, I was thinking within me, is this Christianity? Is this what they call the gospel? I made up my mind. If I can't continue forward, I can go to where I was coming from. I made up my mind. And suddenly, God spoke. I said, son, what is the problem? Ah. Daddy, you know all things. You were at the meeting. So you have been disappointed by those you thought you could trust, the man who brought you to Jesus, your general superintendent, everybody. I said, yes. He said, but have I disappointed you? I said, no, Lord. I made up my mind from that day onward, no looking back. So those who think they can distract my attention, those who think they can slow me down, they came too late. I've already made up my mind. Living or dying, I belong to Jesus Christ. Is anybody like that here at all? That's one story. I tell you another one, because we're going to pray. These are very serious prayers we are praying tonight. Another story that you know very well. I went to the University of Bafeme Olowo University. I think at that time it was still called University of Ife, for a program. I finished the program early in the morning, and I was coming back to Lagos. And if you are coming out of the campus and you are coming back to Lagos, you have to turn right. As I was approaching the gate, God spoke to me and said, at the junction, you turn left. Yes, Lord. I obey first and then ask why. Told my driver, we are turning left. It's after we turn left. Where are we going? He said, you are going to Akure. Akure. I'm on my way to Lagos. But it's my commander-in-chief. So I went to Akure. When I got to Akure, he then told me where I was going. You are going to the house of so-and-so. Oh, God. He knew why he didn't tell me before. Because the one he was sending me to, I have been in and out of the Redeemed Christian Church of God a couple of times. I've made up my mind. This time it's gone, it's gone. I'm not, no more follow-up. So he sent me to his house. I got to his house, he was in the bathroom. The wife saw me. Ah, what are you doing here? I said, well, God sent me to go and see your husband. The wife told him, the GO is in the sitting room. He said, what kind of joke is that? Finally, he came and saw me. Why are you here? I said, I don't know. God said I should go and see you. He opened his mouth. He could hardly close it. Because he had backslid terribly. But he said, you mean God still remembered me? Sent you to come? And he said, from now on, all the way for Jesus Christ. He's an elder now, and he's sitting on the altar here. Stand on your feet and lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father, don't let me go. Don't let me go. Please don't let me go. Hold fast unto me. Don't let me go. Help me all the way. Oh Lord, don't let me go. Don't let me go. Don't let me go. Help me all the way. Help me all the way. Please hold me tight, Almighty God. Even when everything within me is causing me to turn away from you, Lord, don't let me go. Hold me fast, Lord. Help me all the way. Help me all the way. Help me all the way, Almighty God. Please help me all the way. Hold fast unto me, Lord. Help me all the way. Help me all the way. Don't let me go. Don't let me go. The Lord God Almighty, no matter how hard I try to go away from you, don't let me go, Lord. Hold me fast. Hold me fast. Hold me fast. Please, Lord, don't let me go. Don't let me go. Hold me fast. Hold me fast. Please, Lord, help me all the way, all the way, all the way, so I can finish well, so I can finish strong. Help me, Lord. Hold me fast. Hold me fast. Hold me fast, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. You will not fall by the wayside. You will finish well.
Please be seated. There are several other things we could discuss, but because of time, let's go to another very important issue here, and that is the role of attention to details. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Almighty. The Lord asked me to tell somebody, whether the fellow is here or just listening all over anywhere in the world, the Lord said, because you survived June, you will not die. Thank you, Father. You know, there is a saying that the rich also cry. That means you can be wealthy and still have sorrow. But the Lord asked me to tell someone here, he said, that proverb will never apply to you again. Thank you, Lord. The Lord asked me to tell someone, he said, you should pay attention and see, beginning from this month, your adversary disappearing one by one. The role of attention to details. When God is talking to you, if your victory is going to be total and permanent, pay attention to details. Nehemiah was told, wash in Jordan, not any other river. Wash 7 times. Not 5, not 6, not 3, 7. He dipped himself in Jordan. The first time he came out a leper. Second time a leper. 6th time he was still a leper. It was the 7th time that he came out clean. Deuteronomy 28 that I mentioned earlier on, Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 to 13, is if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all he commands you, not some, all. Diligently. Paying attention to details. Like I told those of us who came for divine encounter, if you look at 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, 2 Kings 4, verse 1 to 7, the man of God told the widow, go and borrow empty vessels from your neighbors. Borrow not a few. Shut the door on yourself and your sons. Pour in the oil from your bottle into the pots. Set aside that which is full. Details. If the widow had borrowed empty vessels and started pouring the oil without shutting the door, the oil will not pour. Details, details.